As you're able, please stand. We have two readings. First of all, Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 to 17, which reads, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Our next reading is from Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. "Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord." Amen. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Please be seated. We are currently involved in a study through the Lord's Prayer, and this morning we come to the petition of, "Give us this day our daily bread." If you'd like to follow, there's an outline. I think it's on page 5 in the bulletin. But we'll be looking at four different headings. First of all, the giver of our daily bread. Secondly, the recipients of daily bread. Thirdly, the time of provision, and then fourthly, the gift of daily bread. We've seen already that the Lord's Prayer consists of six petitions. The first three focus on God's glory. The second three for our good, and this is one of those. You may be familiar with what's been called perhaps the most reprinted pieces of art in the 20th century. It's a man at a table with cheese and bread, basically, and he's bowing his head to pray. I had an aunt that had that by her breakfast table, and every time we went to her home, I just remember that picture of all the things that stood out. It was painted by a Swedish painter in about 1886, so it's been around a while. This is our daily bread. I want us to know, first of all, in this passage, the giver of our daily bread. And it's simply our Father. our Father. When we begin to pray, whether it's to recite the Lord's Prayer or any other prayer, we need to remember that we are approaching one who has revealed himself to us as our Father. And we are asking for what we need. Now, we need to remember this isn't the first thing for which we pray. Jesus did not teach his disciples to begin with, give me this, give me that. Not at all. No, the first three petitions are for God's glory. Now, the order matters. The order matters. Not that we follow it in a robotic, mindless way, no. But getting the order right, at least in our hearts, okay, prevents us from turning prayer into a children's Christmas list. Here's what I want. Coming from a humble heart, the word give is not just acceptable to the Lord, it is pleasing to our Father. Pleasing to our Father. Our Father is glorified by our dependence, not by our demands. There's a difference. I think many parents can identify with this. There's a difference with having one of our children come up to us and say, when I turn 16, I expect a car on my birthday. Magic. Oh, sure. Why not rather this? I need your help because you know how to drive and I don't. What a difference. The latter expresses a dependence upon the Father that honors the father or mother. We need never be afraid or embarrassed to cast all our anxieties upon the Lord. Why? What's the motivation that Peter gives in 1 Peter 5? Why do we cast our anxieties upon the Lord? All of them. Why? Because he cares for us. That's why. That's why. We all know our web of relationships in life. We know the ones that care for us. We know the ones that when we come asking for prayer or have a problem, it matters to them. We know that. How much more our Heavenly Father cares for us. And we are invited to cast our cares on Him. Think of course, the words, familiar words of the Lord Jesus from Matthew 7. He repeatedly directs us to seek and knock and ask. Who's the giver of our daily bread? Our Father. Notice with me, secondly, then, the recipients. Us. Give us our daily bread. This prayer request, or this phrase in the Lord's Prayer, acknowledges our essential neediness. For all, whatever else we may be, we are essentially needy people. And our Father invites us to bring that to Him. He remains the center, just as He was in the previous three petitions. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. He's still the center of things. But He does invite us to come and pray to Him. Of course, it is presumed we will be praying for others. We are together asking our Father for what we need. Ran across an illustration. You may be familiar with the wheat pennies. The wheat pennies. Some people have collections of wheat pennies. But I looked into the background of that a bit. to find out that in the ancient world, sheaves or clusters of wheat or grain symbolized abundance or charity or goodness or fertility. It was commonplace in the ancient world. With the reliefs that we have from the Egyptians, they pictured their gods as having large sheaves of wheat with them. You know, they could abundantly provide. The Greeks used that same image from the Egyptians and pictured their gods, the Greek gods, as holding bundles of grain. Now, the Romans were the first ones to put that on coins. And they wanted to picture not that God was the provider, but Rome. Rome, the imperial beneficence, so that people would be reminded, we can give you anything you need. Don't look anywhere else. We can do it. The government will take care of you. Now, with that background, that ancient imagery comes our classical picture into the wheat pennies that were minted in America from about 1909 to 1958. And they were stamped with wreaths of wheat. Abundance, goodness, beneficence, the wheat penny. Well, that's the recipients. It's us. Give us our daily bread. Notice with me, thirdly, then, the time or the timing. It is not tomorrow or when I retire. Give us this day. This day. Jesus is already teaching practice, a profound lesson of faith and dependence. Don't learn it later. Be learning it now on a daily basis, recognizing who provides you with what you need. Who gives you your job? Who gives you your education? Who gives you your health so you can work? Who gives you skill at managing money that you have extra and can invest? It's the Lord, of course. It's the Lord. We would like, or I'll say maybe at times I would like, for my Heavenly Father to give me everything right now. Just let me see it. Let me be secure in knowing it's there. A lifetime supply of your gifts, okay? Let me see it. Now, he doesn't work that way, does he? No. Jesus wants us to pray for what we need this day. Give us this day our daily bread. I ran across an illustration of from Charles Kuralt, who was a correspondent with CBS for a number of years. And he was wonderful with interviewing people, out-of-the-way people. On one occasion, he interviewed Agatha Burgess. Agatha Burgess. She was quite like all the other people that he interviewed, just ordinary people. Living with their neighbors, trying to help each other along the way. And this lady, Agatha, lived in Buffalo, South Carolina. I don't know where in the world that is in South Carolina, what part of the state, but it is a map dot. And Charles Kuralt found her. At the age of 80, Agatha would get up every morning at 5 o'clock and begin to cook. She would cook corn muffins. And she would always had a turkey ready, or leftovers from a turkey. And then she would start on the biscuits. And she would have gravy to go on the biscuits, fresh corn, green beans, and peach cobbler. At 11 o'clock every day, or 5 days a week, she would load it all up for Meals on Wheels in her community. And she would see that it was distributed to shut-ins that she did not know in Buffalo, South Carolina. At noon, the Carralt says that there'd be trucks and cars pulling up. All sorts of people wanted to crowd into Ms. Burgess's kitchen and dining room even. There'd be mill workers, truck drivers, judges. The owner of the local Ford dealership would show up for lunch at her home. She would simply ask them for $2.75 a box for her home cooking. It's an interesting lady. She worked 5 days a week and did this over 15 years later in life. When asked why she did it, she responded to Carralt. She says, "I've always wanted to. I never wanted to have a big, fine home. I'm just satisfied like I am." I know you probably have a big, fine home. I don't want your big, fine home. I'm glad with what I've got. And I enjoy and just want to be happy with what I have. But me, I'm fine. I've got what I want. I always get everything I want, but I know what I want. Honestly, I ran across that interview multiple places in the history of interviews that Charles Carralt had. But Ms. Burgess knew how to ask for this day. Well, fourthly, we have the gift. What is it? That for which we ask. Daily bread. It's daily bread. Now, of course, bread means more than something in a loaf or sandwich, you know, for a sandwich. No, it means more than food. It's often used as a synonym for food, support of life in general. Okay, it's a very broad idea. While working on this study, for some reason, I hope it's the Holy Spirit, led me to an incident years ago. I was just out of seminary, and I went to a country church in the Mississippi Delta. If you're not familiar with that area, the language, all the inhabitants there know that the definition of the Mississippi Delta is that it begins in the lobby of the Peabody Hotel in Memphis and goes south to where the Yazoo River and the Mississippi River come together at Vicksburg. Everything in between is the Mississippi Delta. A lot of cotton acreage there, and the small church where I was a pastor, I think we had a banker, a service station owner, everyone else farmed the land. They were cotton farmers. I remember one particular incident where we were well into the growing season. Cotton was just coming up. The fields were turning green. And then we didn't get any rain for a long time. You know, I thought, well, I remember grass turning green as a kid and I didn't have to mow it. This was different. The livelihood of every family in the community depended on that cotton. And I still remember a conversation with one of the elders. He was talking. He told me, he says, "Michael, at this stage in the cotton, it is a crucial turning point in the plant, every plant. If it does not get rain now, an adequate amount of water, we'll have no harvest." Okay? I remember one of our men, still staggers me. It was routine for him to borrow $1 million from the bank to put seed in the ground. Now, that would carry him with harvest and everything else. But just to get started, he was indebted that much. I came to realize that lack of rain influenced families, farms, every business in the Delta, even the church. That same man even pulled me aside. He said, "Michael, don't you understand? If we don't get rain, we can't pay you. We can't provide for your family. And we'll have to close these doors. We need rain." So I was glad to join them with their fast. I never knew how much rain meant until then. It's part of daily bread. And the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray for it. It's more than that, though. Certainly your minds are probably already ahead of mine. In John 6, how many times in one chapter Jesus calls himself the bread of life. The bread of life. John 6, verse 35. Verse 41, verse 48, verse 51. I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. I'm the living bread of life. Y'all, if push came to shove, we could do without rain. If push came to shove, we could do without food. But in the bigger scheme of things, we have souls that will never die. We need eternal bread to live. And we do well to be learning to feed on Jesus every day we have. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for using ordinary things of life to communicate to us the value of what you've done for us in Jesus. Thank you, Father. We ask for the Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts and minds, that in a fresh way we will be drawn to Jesus, your Son, and be learning to feed on him, the living bread, every day. And in his name we ask you, amen.